But I got a question for you. All right? You know, I was thinking about it this week, but I think we can all agree we know what it's like to suffer. Right? Okay. Even on the light side. Okay? Like for me, personally, coming home from work, you've heard my work stories. I work 72 miles away, travel the LIE back and forth. And sometimes it's a little painful, suffering, stuck in traffic. So what might I do to relieve that? Pull into Dunkin' Donuts, get a donut and a cup of coffee and go on my way. But how about like some other types of suffering? A couple of weeks ago, we had our granddaughter. Cheryl was taking care of our granddaughter, and she had some mosquito bites on her. And she blew up and got all itchy and started scratching, didn't know what to do. I was picking up a bag. Next thing I know, I broke out with poison ivy. I started itching. It was all over the place. What did I do? I started scratching it. What about a mosquito bite? I think Nate got a mosquito bite, right, Pastor's little guy? Started scratching it. It blew up. Maybe you get a splinter, and we complain, and we grumble, and what do? And these are just little things. How do we handle it? But what about suffering on the severe side, on a continuum, something very serious, a family member suffering, or you suffering with a sickness or a disease or a financial situation, whatever it might be, loneliness, stress, anxiety. How do we handle that? What do? I had a situation in my life where my dad came down with lung cancer. Serious. How do we handle it? So whether it's in relationships, our emotions, our own physical body, finances, the home, the car, the job, the children, there are times and situations, right, where we're going to experience suffering and pain, whether we know Jesus as our Savior or whether we don't. It's going to happen. So during these times, how do we act? What do? Who do we look to? It's important to know that. Why? Let's find out. Okay, find out if it's temporary or sustainable. So our title today is How to Win in Suffering. We're going to continue our study with James, and we're going to look at James 5, 7 through 12. Last week, Pastor Keith talked about the riches, Today, we're going to look at another side that James is talking about. So if you can all, we're going to stand up. We're going to read the word corporately out loud, and we're going to look at James. We're going to read right from 5 through 7, and let's do it in one accord, okay? Here we go. Be patient, then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged, and the judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Or simple, yes or no, otherwise you will be condemned. Wow, you may be seated. That is heavy. Oof. What is James speaking about? Who is he speaking about? Why is he saying all this? Let's take a look at the times. What was going on then? It was about 50 AD after Christ's resurrection and death. So many of these people, Christians, saw or heard first account of Christ's ascension to heaven. They knew it. They were also being persecuted. They were being persecuted by the rich. They were being taken advantage of for their faith. They had no finances. They're just suffering. Sounds like today? Sounds like a lot of what's going on? Okay. So James is concerned. He writes here that They're looking across, but they forgot to look up. They forgot to look up to the Lord. They seen it, they heard it, they knew it, but they forgot to look up. So it doesn't matter whether you're a Christian today or you're not a Christian. I'm going to show you how to win in suffering, as God's words show us. Let's take a look at verse 9. If you can just bear with me. And verse 9 says, and you don't have to read it, "Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door." What's he talking about here? He's talking about Jesus Christ. He is the judge. So we start grumbling, we start complaining. We're going to be judged, whether he returns today or when it's our time to go be with him. We're going to be judged, whether we're a Christian or not. That's what he's talking about. Don't grumble, don't complain, or you will be judged. They forgot God, right? Let's move on to verse 12 and take a look at that, okay? "Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else." Swearing. What were they doing? What do? We start making an oath. "Lord God, if you take care of this, I'll serve you all my days. Lord, if you get me a job, okay, I'll go to church every Sunday, or I'll give my money," whatever. They're making an oath. And he says, don't do that. Don't make an oath. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Let people see the integrity that you have as a Christian, right? Don't get caught up in all this other stuff that's going on. Let's move on to verse 12. We just did verse 12. I'm sorry. Move on to verse 8. We're going to move a little bit around here. And in verse 8, James says, "You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near." Now, there's a little bit of discussion on what's going on here. The Lord's coming is near. They saw the ascension of Christ. So some people believe he was going to come back in their lifetime. But he says the Lord is near. What he means here is that all the barriers for Jesus Christ to come back have been taken down. The veil has been torn. The Lord Jesus Christ died, rose again, and he's with the Father in heaven. And the only thing has to happen now is the Lord's return. The Lord is near. So that's what he's telling us. Be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. Why does he tell them that? Because they forgot God. They stopped looking up. They started grumbling and complaining among each other and forgot where their hope was. Okay? So, let's move on again. Let's look at verse 11. "As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." James is telling us, look back. Look at the example in the Old Testament of Job. He was a prophet. He brought the word of the Lord forth. But he suffered, right? He was tempted. Satan tempted him. He lost everything. He lost his family, his wife, his children, his friends. He had boils in his body. And everything, his hopes seemed gone. But what did he not do? He never gave up his faith and trust in God. Through all, he persevered. And that's what the Lord is saying here in the word that James has put forward here. Okay, the Lord is full of love and compassion. No matter what Job went through, at the end, he knew his hope and trust was in his Lord God and Savior. Right? That is the example for us today. How do we handle things? What do we do? Let's look back and take the example of the leaders, the prophets, the word of God before us so we can move forward. Let's not forget God. So you're going to say, okay, why? Let's take a look at verse 7. So this is how we started. Be patient. Be patient. "Then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming, see how the farmer waits for the land to yield his valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. This was the livelihood of most people, farming. They had to be patient. Rains came twice a year. If they weren't patient, they might dig up their crops might die. They had to put their trust and hope, knowing the rains were going to come twice a year. They had no irrigation system. What did they have to do in the meantime? They had to tend to their garden, weed the garden, make sure rodents and other animals didn't eat their garden, protect it, nurture it, right? It's a process. So this summer, Cheryl, my wife, planted a garden. We haven't had a garden in years. Cheryl loves gardening. She loves planting. She comes from a farming family. So she set a little side, a little land aside, put a little fence around it, and she planted, I see strawberries, I saw peppers, cucumbers. Was there anything else I missed, hon? Tomatoes, yes, you guys have some tomatoes. And these things started coming up, and I'm looking at this. I got no patience for this. This is like, and every day she's out there patiently. Look, look. And then she's got to change the fence because the raccoons got into it. And then she took care of that, you know. And the next thing you know, she goes, look at the little these little veggies growing. Time is going, summer's going by. All of a sudden, come home from work, and what's on the table? A cucumber salad. Woo! It was delicious. So now we have some, we have peppers, we have tomatoes, but it took patience. It took patience to grow those vegetables. She just didn't get frustrated, rip them up and say, it's all over. It's patience. And endurance, great endurance. So that's the example James is telling us here. I want to go back to verse 11, okay? And talk about this. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You've heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about and how it ended. Blessings and mercy. Job's suffering reminds us of Christ and what Jesus did on the cross for us. Right? And James knows that, and he writes it out right there. He knows Job suffered physically, emotionally, financially, everything. Talk about stress, anxiety, pain. Well, what did Jesus do on the cross? What did he do on that cross for us? He suffered. He died. Endured the pain. He was lonely. He was abandoned by everyone. For what? To fulfill the promise of God for you and for me. That we would have what? The patience to go through life, to go through the suffering, took it upon the sin upon him that we might live and reign with him forever. Amen. Amen. Jesus' death and endurance on that cross provides us with the mercy and the hope for the patience that we need to get through in times of suffering in our lives. But not only for us, an example for us to show others as Christ has done for us, that love and patience. So I started all this and talked about my dad and his bout with cancer. So I don't know if you're wondering what was that all about. So bear with me here as I get through this part. My dad was diagnosed with lung cancer. We took him for surgery, and there was nothing they could do. They tried to give him radiation. He had a weak heart. He had heart attacks. So he couldn't get radiation. So they said, all we can do from his chemo. My dad had just become a Christian, gave his life to Jesus Christ about 2 years, 1997. So about 3 years prior, he gave his heart to Jesus. I saw a man who was bitter, resentful, would curse at the drop of a hat, give his heart to Jesus Christ. And I saw that change in him. When he was diagnosed with that cancer, when he went through the cancer, I became his caregiver. My mom had passed on to be with the Lord 1997. And I took care of my dad. And through that whole process, he gave God thanks. He gave God glory. I didn't hear him curse. I didn't hear him say, why me? Did he grumble? Yeah, he grumbled, but he kept it to himself. His yes was yes, and his no was no. He kept the integrity that now I am a Christian. The Lord has saved me, and I know no matter what, I have that hope and promise. Well, we took him for, he had blood clots in his legs. So we had to get something called a green leaf filter, I think that's what it's called, put in. They put the filter in, and he had a reaction to that. I think he had a heart attack to that. And it wasn't good. And they sent him home. We took him home, and he wasn't doing well. And praying, and my brother and I. And let's get him back to the hospital. So we got him to the hospital. We got him to the hospital. It was a Friday, I believe. And he says, gets in the hospital, and goes, I'll be dead in 3 days. I'll be gone. Just like that. Just came into his mouth. I'm like, what is that about? Right? Through that weekend, I've been to hospitals. I've heard stories. I've seen people curse and grumble, curse God on their deathbed. I've heard it. I've seen it. This man is my father, my stepfather. I was raised by my stepfather. He's praying to God through the whole process. And during the night, I was woken up and I was there with him. And I hear him praying, Lord, take me. I'm ready. And he prayed, Lord, I'm ready to go. Take me, take me. And then Sunday came, and my dad went to be with the Lord. But through that process, he exhibited endurance, patience, through the suffering, knew where he was going. So some people are healed. God healed some, right? God moves in different ways. Some are not. But God's word and through the Holy Spirit shows us how to endure, how to get through, how to be an example. And that was an example to me. I would say many years, and here was a new Christian in Christ, my stepdad, living out what James is talking about here with the hope of Christ, giving him glory, honor, and praise, which is amazing. In the end, where's my dad? He's sitting with Jesus Christ. He knows his Savior. He knows his hope. He is not suffering anymore. Praise God. Praise God. Wow. So how do we deal with the suffering and pain? What do? We look to Jesus. We draw near to him. We read his word. We learn and we gain knowledge by doing that. We pray and talk to God. Tell him. Tell him what the situation is. Let him know. He's your daddy, right? Draw near to him. Talk to the pastor. Talk to leaders in the church. Pray with them. Come to prayer. Look to other Christians, not for grumbling and complaining, folks, but for encouragement. Look to other Christians for encouragement. Okay? Right now, in this country, in the world, we see suffering all around us. Right? It's all around. The political climate in America, groups on the left, groups on the right, different core values, hatred, violence. We're shown in God's word, we're not to act like that. We're not to have a revolution. We're not to rise up. We are to seek after God and be an example of Christ to others. We're to bring them that hope. And what do we do here at Truth Community Church? We have a church. We have a place that we can go to. All right, during times of patience and suffering, we have the ability to bring in and to reach out to those in our community with the same hope and love of Christ that each one of us has experienced. Amen. And how do we do that? We look to Jesus. We let them know what? That there is hope, patience, to go through the suffering. In who? Jesus Christ. Why? Because he died on that cross for you and for me. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So I think a great thing I'm going to encourage everybody to do here, I spoke to Pastor Keith about this, you know, we collaborated on this, all right, but we need to let people know this week. We need to sit with people, go with them. You know people who are suffering. Maybe a family member, maybe a friend, somebody that you meet for the first time. Yesterday, Cheryl got to meet someone for the first time, and her sister came up and said, that person is suffering with cancer. Would you go and pray? And Cheryl went up and said, can I pray with you? And he said, yes. And she got an opportunity to pray. So God is awesome, and he's using us. So through these, even in our own suffering, even in our own times that we're suffering, we can still reach out and bring that hope of Jesus Christ to those in need. Seek the Lord this week. Follow after him. And he'll direct your path in these areas. Everybody received a devotional. And on the back of that devotional, this in your handout, there are some things that you can do. So you can read through one, consider. How does a firm grasp on God's coming justice change our view of our sufferings now? Reflect during the week as you think about your own circumstances. What aspects of the examples of the prophets in Job particularly encourage you today? Read Isaiah 53. This prophecy tells us about the suffering that Jesus would endure. This is a prophetic that he would endure to rescue us from sin. He suffered, and his suffering ended death, ending in death, so that ours would end in life. That's awesome. Spend time with someone, as I said, who is suffering. You don't have to answer the questions. You don't have to go into all that. Just show them that you're there. Encourage them, especially for the question, why is this happening? You can say, I don't know. But you can say, I'm here for you. I'm here to pray for you. Be an encouragement. Reach out. And pray. Take Job's example and let God know just how miserable you are. You might be miserable. There are times that I am miserable. Go to God and let him know. All right? How angry, how sad, how scared, confused that you might be. Tell him exactly how you feel. You're not fooling him. God knows everything. Not fooling God at all. All right? Can't keep any secrets from him, but he can remedy you. His word can bring healing. His Holy Spirit can lead and guide you. So who do you look to when you suffer? Jesus. Jesus is the word. Amen? We find that in his word. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Thank you, Lord.